So I want to share a little encouraging story because it's just blessed my socks off this morning. Yesterday, you know, I've been in a little contact with Joe through this. I'm not pressing. Anytime he wants to reach out, I let him, but I just been sending him a little text that I love you, brother, and kept it simple. But yesterday, I couldn't not thank him because I had 5 years of sobriety yesterday. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I figured out that I'm a productive member of society when I'm sober. When I'm not, I just don't play well with others. I get it, Lord. I get it. So I texted Joe last night, and I said, hey, man, I just want you to know, 5 years ago today, I began to get my life back on track, and you have been a major part of my sobriety, teaching me how to be a man, a real man, a real man of God, and I just will never be able to thank you enough. And we have a little joke, him and I, because we're honored to get to minister to you together. I mean, it's an honor. So, you know, we joke around. We're like, yeah, man, shake and bake. Shake and bake, brother. Let's go get them, you know? So I was like, I don't know how to thank you. Shake and bake. And I texted it to him. And, you know, didn't hear nothing. And I didn't expect to hear nothing. And before I came out for first service, I heard my phone ding. And I looked at it and it said, shake and bake forever. I was like, yes! Yes! See, our pastor's coming back. And he's going to preach with fire. Okay? Because, dude, he ain't got a chance. He messed with the wrong dude. You know what I'm saying? Because Joe, and look, he has a grasp on what I'm going to preach about today. It's what do we do when we're faced with adversity, trials, and tragedy? And I would never even pretend like I know what it feels like to be in his shoes. But he sure is showing me like what a real deal Christian looks like. That in the fire and in total tragedy, this man is clinging to God. And he's broken, he's sad, he's angry. But he's holding on to the only thing that he knows to hold on to, and that's Jesus. So, and that's inspiring to me. And that gives me hope that man, when he comes out here and preaches, that, you know what I'm saying? He means what he says, and he believes what he says, so much so that he walks out what he says, no matter what. That preaches right there. Amen? So, first I want to just deal with the whys, because that's a totally natural thing to do. Why? Why would you let this happen, God? Why does bad things happen to good people? Why do you heal this one, do miracles over here, but not this? Why? I wish I had the answer for you. And I had all the answers for you, but I don't. But see, and this is I've been praying for all week that I would deliver this message with compassion, because see, the word of God is true. And I have an obligation to you, to Joe, to God, to give you the truth. But if I don't deliver the truth sensitively today, it can be insulting. Does that make sense? Like, God is good all the time. Suck it up. You know what I'm saying? Whoa! That's not encouraging. It makes me want to flip you off. Right? I mean, we can hurt people with the word. So, but the word is the word. It is truth. It is the only thing that I can hold on to, that Joe can hold on to, that you can hold on to, that won't change, that is living and breathing through every generation to guide us in times like this. But it's okay to ask why. I want to give you an example. A prophet named Habakkuk. Yes, that's in the Bible. That is a name in the Bible. His name's Habakkuk, right? He's a prophet in Judah in like 600 BC. 605, 650, you know, in the 600s. 600 BC, he's a prophet. So, you know, we look at those guys as, whoa, you know, those guys are holy. You know, that's the Old Testament. That guy was gnarly. Well, he was asking God what was up, because his people were getting their butts kicked. And he says this to God in Habakkuk 1:13. He says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate treacherousness? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" So he's saying, why? Like, I know that we're not sinless, but we're better than them. Why are you letting them, why are you letting wicked people? I mean, we're your chosen people. We're on your team. Why are you letting them smoke us like this? But here's what he says. Side note. God is big enough for your questions. If you need to get angry, he just wants to be us to be real with him. And it's really about us surrendering. He knows everything. It's about us surrendering and really telling ourselves the truth and allowing us to. So if I have questions to God, or I'm angry or frustrated with what's going on, I mean, he's a big God. He can handle it. Amen? So, but here's the thing. Here's Habakkuk's heart. He says in Habakkuk 2:1, he says, "I will stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." And there's a little footnote there. So it says, "And I will look to see what he will say to me and to what and what to answer when I am rebuked." So I want to put this in perspective so we can all understand it. He's saying why. And then he understands that, first of all, God's going to answer. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for it. Because I know that when he answers, he's going to answer with such grace and such mercy, and his reasons will be so good that I will feel why'd I ask that? Does that make sense? Because we serve a God full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. And, but see, he sees the biggest picture of them all. And we don't. We can't. We only see what's here and right now. And that's okay. But you need to understand that God is doing something. I don't understand why things happen the way they do. But I have to, as your pastor, as a man of God, I have to stand on the word and his word that says he'll turn all things for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. Everything. and he's busy doing something. So, and I want you to know this. God doesn't dig evil. He's not cool with it at all. The psalmist said this in 5:4, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome." You see, God doesn't do these things. Everything was perfect in the garden. God created us, Adam and Eve, man and woman. Everything was killer. Nobody was sick. Nobody was tripping on their weight. And we weren't dying. We weren't dying. We were made to live forever with God. Still. Even though, and that's why he said, look, Adam, Eve, check it out. You can eat anything you want. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you can't handle it. I love you. You won't be able to handle it. Okay. And that's when they were tricked by the devil. Come on. You guys will be like God. It'll be great. They did it, and since they did that, we have been dying. Since they did that, this earthly body started dying. Now, God in his mercy and his grace has put, he sent provision, didn't he? Sent himself through Jesus Christ to bridge that gap, to make sure that he could gather his kids. So the beginning, the full circle beginning of heaven and a new earth, new heaven, new earth, new bodies, no more sickness, no more pain. He made provision for us so we could do that. So I understand that we put a lot of stock in this life because this is tangible. I can see you. You can see me. We feel the chairs we're sitting in. I feel the stage. It's real. But heaven is real. Eternity is real. We just can't see it. But I'm telling you, it's real. The Bible tells you it's real. Jesus tells you it's real, which is a better source than coming from me, a flawed man. But I believe. I believe everything in the Word. So if that's being the case, if that is the case, and I say I'm a man of God, then I must realize that this life, there's a purpose and a plan for us in this generation to love God, live with God, and love other people. That's why we're here. Not to grind it out Monday through Friday, even though we have to survive. Our purpose and our plan here is to love God and love each other until this process is over, whenever that might be. But that's coming, everybody, for all of us. But see, we don't have to be scared anymore. Because Jesus Christ conquered sin, death, and hell. And when we say yes to Jesus, the same Spirit that rose him from the dead lives in us, promising us that when this body dies, I begin to really live. That's the good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we don't have to be afraid. And again, I am not minimizing. When somebody dies that we love, it's that tearing because we were meant to stay together. So of course it hurts us. And I am not minimizing that. It's gonna hurt. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. But I have to stand on the fact that those that have gone before us, the believers of Jesus, are the cloud of witnesses. We're going to see each other again. I have to believe And I do believe with everything that I have that Sarah is with Jesus and Gabe. Sarah and Gabe, both of Joe's kids are with Jesus. And they're doing something up there. Definitely. Is Joe ever going to say, you know, and look, let me just say, the Gabe's homes that came out of that when Gabe died, Gabe's homes, guys getting sober, guys getting saved. Oh my gosh. It's beautiful. Is it, would I ask Joe, is it a fair trade? No. But see, we don't have control over that. We don't have control over bad stuff happening, and we're not exempt just because we love Jesus. Just because we're the apple of his eye doesn't mean we don't live in a broken, sinful world full of beautiful things and jacked up things. God has given us free will down here. But he says, do not be afraid, for I have conquered death. So I'm sharing that today because if, you know, especially with, I mean, just in case Joe's watching, I want to minister to that because we have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that, those that we have lost, we will see again. And they're having the best day ever. That brings like a healing balm. Doesn't make everything okay, but it gives hope. And it's a healing. 1 Peter 1:3 or 1:3 through 7 says this. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. That's a scripture we can stand on today. Praise God. So, we all deal with things differently too. How we grew up, what has already happened to us in our life. Really, you know, because we all deal with things differently. Through adversity, trials, and tragedy, we deal with things differently. Some of us react. Some of us get really quiet. And you know what? None of that's wrong. Because it's who you are. And your feelings, they're yours. You're allowed to feel. You're allowed to process. And that's okay. But we have to remember that our feelings aren't the truth. The truth is the Word of God. So if I feel defeated, if I feel just completely broken into a million pieces, I'm allowed to feel that way. So what do I do? I have to go read what God says about me. Because I have to hold on to that. And I might have to regurgitate that to myself as I take the process of however long it takes me to heal. That's something else. There's no time limit. There's no suck it up, buttercup. Not who, people who care about you and love you. But there is a God that will heal you and is for you. And that word rooted in you will get you through the hard times, because let me tell you something, tragedy can take you out. It can make you crawl into a hole, a deep hole, and not come out. It can cause you to want to go medicate with drugs and alcohol. But if you cling to Jesus, you will make it through. And you will be stronger. And your faith will be bigger. Is that going to make everything okay? No. It won't. But you'll make it through. And you'll see God will reveal. This is what I can't promise you. Is God will reveal himself to you in such a way. It's just for you too. He'll just reveal himself to you and you'll be like, wow, you're still powerful, God. You're still good. You're still merciful. I'm still sad, but I worship you, God. Nobody is ever ready for a trial or tragedy. I've never heard one person say, you know, I'm feeling really solid in my faith right now. Things are really going good. I'd like a trial. I think I'd like a trial. I think God, I'd like God to send me a trial to really build my faith. You know, maybe, you know, just pray for finances and stuff. And it's just fun. I mean, I'd really like for that. And nobody's ever said that, ever. I've never asked for that. I don't know about you, but I've never asked him for a trial. But that's why it's so important for us to be ready before that happens. Jesus tells us straight up in Matthew 5, 44, 45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It just is what it is down here. It happens to the good. It happens to the bad. We are an exempt from tragedy, trials, and adversity. But we do have a Savior. We do have a God that is paying attention and that does care for us. So, Paul the Apostle's talking to the church of Ephesus, and imagine him walking back and forth like a general, trying, you know, giving a word to his troops to pump them up, because the church of Ephesus is getting attacked, and he wants, you know, he wants to really pump them up. And why do you think Paul the Apostle tells us in Ephesians to put on the full armor of God? It's not just a catchphrase. It's not just a motivational speech, because we're at war, aren't we? It's a spiritual war. Remember, when sin entered in, the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I mean, he's not personally, you know, laser eyeballing you. It's okay. The sin nature and the influence of this world is doing a pretty good job. So we need to be prepared. Why? Because 1 ounce of preparation or preventative maintenance is worth a pound, more than a pound, of emergency response. If we're rooted in the Word, let me just read it. Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to be prepared for anything. Because the chances are, since we are living in a world that's dying, even the earth cries out. It's dying too. Since we are living in a world that's dying, I mean, the tragedy, adversity, trials, they're going to come. That's something that we can't ignore. Again, my message today is to encourage you, because we have the Word. We have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We win. Amen? He can hurt us. He can't kill us. You can't kill a Christian. You can kill this body that's already dying. You can. But you don't win, because I'm with Jesus immediately. I'm where I really want to be anyway. Does that make sense? I want to encourage you today. Especially if you've lost somebody and you're trying to heal. I'm not, you know, I say it with all love and respect with the process of grieving. But we have good news, guys, that this isn't it. Thank God this isn't it. Right? Whew. There's so much more, and it's so much better. And it's all good. It's something that we can look forward to. But I want you to know something else. Hey, Paul didn't just make this stuff up himself. He read the Word. He read the Word, and then when it was time, he used it in his own way to lift up the church of Ephesus and everybody else in Asia Minor at the time, his audience. Look, Isaiah 11, 5. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. Isaiah 59, 17. He put on the righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in a zeal in a cloak. Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Paul read it, ate it, and regurgitated it in the time of need. That's why we don't just say, guys, read your Bible, because that's what we do here. I mean, we're at war spiritually. And there's going to be times where it's just you. I mean, we're a community. We got you. You know, we love to pray with you. We're praying for you. And whatever we can do to help each other, we're in. It's the way our church rolls. But there are times when it's just you and yourself. And sometimes that can be bad, you know, where discouraging thoughts come in. It still happens to me. Negative, 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 negative. You're going to have to preach yourself in a good mood, or preach yourself into the truth that you truly are. Does that make sense? It will help you. Because check it out. Character, the character of God, character wins the battle. Not violence, We aren't going out in the street getting it on with unbelievers or the devil himself. We're in a spiritual battle. And the way we walk through our stuff builds our character. And the character of a Christ-like character wins the battle. Joe and Therese are showing some amazing character with what a man and woman of God look like, no matter what. Amen? It's inspiring. It preaches volumes. It shows the world that God is real. Doesn't it? Faith builds character. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Like I said before, we're not victims down here. We're soldiers, and we ultimately win because Jesus conquered sin, death, and hell. We win. So I'd like to, real quick, talk about adversity. It's the lighter of all the three: adversity, trials, and tragedy. Adversity, you know, it's frustrating but doable. Usually some encouragement from another and a small amount of faith will get you through. You know, it's a pain in the butt, but it's building your character and you're walking it out and you're not freaking out. You're walking through the adversity. It happens, you know, it can happen on a daily basis. But we get through it. Adversity is meant to teach us something. We grow through adversity, and it's either way it goes. We either learn or we don't. Amen? Trials last a little bit longer. Trials can be seasons. And when you're in a trial, you got to dig your heels in a little bit more. You really, you know, you're praying, you're believing. It's not happening right away. You're having to wait. It takes a while. The pressure, you have to walk in the truth. You have to relieve yourself of that pressure because you're surrendering it to God. These are seasons full of dying to self, surrendering to God's will, and faith that God means what He says and says what He means. And like adversity and in tragedy, we're going to need people around us to encourage us and help us through the trials. Trials are never fun, but this is how we grow strong in our faith, and it humbles us. Amen? James 1, 2 through 4 says this: "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It's a process. So that brings us to tragedy. And this is life-changing. This is devastating. It rocks you to the very core of your being, making you feel like you've been blown into a million pieces. If you haven't asked God why yet, you are now. And these are the times, so much that the Word of God needs to be rooted in you. Because like I said before, tragedy can literally take you out. I mean, it's devastating. And I pray that you cling to Jesus. Cling to us here at His place. We love you, and we will cry with you. We will pray with you. We will do whatever it takes to help you walk through what you need to walk through. But cling to Jesus. You'll get through it. You'll get through it whenever that is. There's no timeline. There's no pressure, whatever. But in that time, you're going to need people praying for you, helping you think clearly, and loving on you unconditionally. Amen? It's important. That's why, you know, community is really important. The psalmist said this in Psalm 34:18, and this is Joe asked me specifically to share this with you, which I thought was sweet. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He also, in Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I'm like, I will share that with him, brother. That's from the man in the fire. And he said, you know, Chris, tell him that when they're going through tragedy, the presence of God, that's what they need. They need the presence of God. He's like, you tell them all their prayers have been working for us. We feel God. There is... Man, I know that's what's holding them together right now. And they'll make it out the other side. Because it's the good news of Jesus Christ and eternity with God that they can hold on to. That Sarah, she's with Jesus. Having the best day ever today. Waiting for her mom and dad to come visit her and her brother. So, I don't want you to leave discouraged today. I don't want you to leave afraid today. I want you to leave knowing that you don't have to fear death. You do not have to fear death. If you've said yes to Jesus and you've asked Him to fill Him with your Holy Spirit, you do not have to be afraid of death. Amen? So everybody bow their head and close their eyes for me. You know, I'm not going to get off the stage without making sure that everybody in here knows that if they died today, they would be right with God. And it isn't just about a prayer, it's about us surrendering. Saying that prayer and saying, God, I surrender. I believe. With whatever little faith I have, I believe Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. Don't wait, don't hesitate. God's been tugging on your heart this morning. Today's the day. Surrender to Him. Let Him in. And let Him fill you with your Holy Spirit. If you've said the prayer before, but you know you haven't been living with God, you know about Him, you know about Jesus, but you haven't really been living with Him, I want to give you an opportunity just to rededicate your life to Him today. It's about you surrendering to Him. He ain't gone anywhere. He's right here with you. It's today, surrender. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you backslidden and want to rededicate your life, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Everybody, repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Today, I turn from my sin and my old way of life, and I turn to you. So teach me how to live with you and for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Thank you. See you next week.